Blessed are you, Jehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Jehovah, give of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. I thought that was quite ironic that as we read in the Haftarah that Jehovah was going to destroy the standing stones. And he's done it. What an amazing Yah we serve. So today I'm going to speak on out of Bamidbar Numbers, and I've titled it When Jehovah Takes Responsibility for His People. We have to realize that he takes responsibility for us. As long as we live according to his word, he will look after us and he will care for us. So let us just pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for the word that you've given me today. We just pray that it will be received with the sense in which it will be delivered. And we pray, Abba Father, that you will just take, the people will just take what they want and leave what they don't want. We just give this word to you and ask for your grace and mercy over it in Yeshua's name. Amen. So I've taken it out of Bamidbar Numbers 23, verses 19 to 22. If we could have that one up. And it says, Jehovah is not a human who lies, or a mortal who changes his mind. When he says something, he will do it. When he makes a promise, he will fulfill it. Look, I am ordered to bless, and when he blesses, I can't reverse it. No one has seen guilt in Yaakov or perceived perversity in Israel. Jehovah the Elohim is with them and acclaimed as king among them. Jehovah, who brought them out of Egypt, gives them the strength of a wild ox. I love his word. I love that I look at his word and he speaks to me through it, and I can claim that word for my life. This is why I can't stop reading scriptures, because it just speaks to me all the time. I just love it when it happens. When I think of the things that Jehovah has done throughout time, he looked down upon the planet that was dark and void, and water covered the face of the deep. I think of his supernatural ability to bring things from darkness into light, to create things just by his word. And how he does it surpasses all imagination. Well, mine anyway, not that I've got much of one. Jehovah took dust. He created a man. He took a rib and created a woman. The power of Jehovah is amazing to me. But what really amazes me is the lack of faith of so many so-called believers have in such a great and mighty Elohim, our El Gabor. When I think of Jehovah, and have you ever thought at how he took a wretched soul like you or me and gave us a new chance in life to be different? He took us as we are, warts and all. He didn't look at our sin. He didn't look at the way we looked. And he didn't look beyond our faults, our failures, and said, sorry, he looked beyond our faults and our failures, and he said, this is mine. This is good. He took me with all my autistic traits, my literalism, my panic attacks, my meltdowns, and said, I'll use that one. I wonder at times what Jehovah does see in humanity as wretched as we are. Why such a magnificent Yah as he is could even bother with us. It fathoms my mind at times. As human beings, we can be, next slide please. We can be cruel and unbelieving, but he is loving and kind and forgiving. He is forever merciful. We can be full of revenge and spite, but he is full of hope. We can be full of doubt and accusations, but he is full of encouragement and affirmation. Only a loving Yah could forgive a wicked humanity. Yehovah looked upon our sins and took upon him a body which is called the Lamb of Yehovah, and gave it a holy and powerful name. A name so powerful that demons tremble at the mention of it. But mankind lost his fear of Yehovah. Worlds are changed because of it. Lives are wretched and sinful are forgiven because of it. Sickness and diseases are subject to the name Yeshua HaMashiach. A name so powerful that Yeshayahu said in chapters 45, verses 22 to 25, "Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am Yehovah, there is no other. In the name of myself I have sworn, from my mouth has rightly gone out a word that will not return, that to me every knee will bow, and every tongue will swear about me that only in Yehovah are justice and strength. All who rage against him will come to him ashamed, but all the descendants of Israel will find justice and glory in Yehovah." Can we say amen to that one? This is a very broad statement. Being a child of Israel and personally knowing these people, this tells me that one, the atheist will bow down, and there are many of his chosen people who are atheists, including my family members. There are those who refuse to serve Yehovah. The wicked and the good alike will bow down at one stage to Yehovah. We only have to look at the countless number of lives that have been affected by that name, Yehovah, or Yeshua. Kings and presidents out of every nation know and fear that name, yet the political world hates it and fears it so much they are trying to remove it from our minds of every human being. Disallowing prayer in schools, trying to ban synagogues, churches and mosques from meeting, and parliamentary leaders being sworn into office with no longer needing or requiring a hand to be placed on a Bible. I don't know if you watched the last Australian elected leaders be sworn in by the Governor General. Maybe two of them used a Bible. The Prime Minister certainly didn't. Yet Yehovah is blamed for disasters, for death of loved ones, failure in society. He's even blamed for not paying our debts. But those that love him call him, as prophesied in Yeshayahu. In Yeshayahu chapter 9 and verse 6, some versions will say 9:5. "For a child is born to us, a son given to us. Dominion will rest on his shoulders, and he will be given the name Pele Yoetz, El Gabor, Avi Ad, Sar Shalom." Pele Yoetz, wonder of a counselor. El Gabor, mighty El or mighty Yah. Avi Ad, Avi Father, Avi Ad, Father of Eternity. And Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace. We all know who that speaks of. Yeshua HaMashiach. Spoken of by Yeshayahu. Regardless if a man admits it or not, the name of Yeshua is still the greatest name ever given under heaven, whereby we must be saved. The children of Israel rejected him, even though he was prophesied by Yeshayahu, And as it says in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 to 12, then let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that it is the name of the Messiah Yeshua from Nazareth, whom you had executed on a stake as a criminal, but whom Yehovah had raised from the dead, that this man stands before you perfectly healed. This Yeshua is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by whom we must be saved. When I think of how good Yehovah is, and I think of his mercy and his grace, and how many times he has looked at this world with his compassion and said, I forgive you, I think three of the most powerful words that have been forever spoken is, I forgive you. It's something all of us must say. If the world could learn to say those words or practice those three words, then synagogues and churches would be full. People's lives would be changed. The whole world would be a better place to live. There would be no greed in Yehovah. There is no doubt. There is no sickness. There is no more death as we would leave this earthly body to our heavenly body for the eternity with Yeshua and Yehovah. We do not live in a forgiving world today. We live in a world that is quick to judge, quick to accuse and ridicule, to demean, but regardless of what is demanded of us by our government, we should not look at the natural, but look to Yehovah and what his word says to get our strength from him and not from man. As it says in Yeshua says in Yochanan chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that you may have life and life into its fullest measure. It's how we operate in this world, whether we are operating in the fullest measure or not. These words of Yeshua are a promise, not just a statement, by a man called Yeshua. I have come so that you may have life, life in its fullest measure. That is a promise that we can claim. Yehovah will not say and not fulfill his word. And we know that Yeshua is the word. It is good from the beginning of Bereshit to the end at Revelation. I started this message in Bamidbar chapter 23, verses 19 to 22. So let me refresh your memory again. It's not that I don't love this scripture. I just thought you might like to hear it again. Yehovah is not a human who lies, or a mortal who changes his mind. When he says something, he will do it. When he makes a promise, he will fulfill it. Look, I am ordered to bless, and when he blesses, I can't reverse it. No one has seen guilt in Yaakov or perceived perversity in Israel. Yehovah the Elohim is with them and acclaimed as king among them. Yehovah, who brought them out of Egypt, gave them the strength of a wild ox. And in Romans 4, 16 to 25, it says, The reason the promise is based on trusting is that they may come as Yehovah's free gift, a promise that can be relied on by all the seed, not only those who live within the framework of the Torah, but also those with the kind of trust Avraham had. Avraham Avinu for all of us. This accords with the Tanakh, where it says, I have appointed you to be a father to many nations. Avraham is our father in Yehovah's sight because he trusted Yehovah as the one who gives life to the dead and calls non-existent things into existence. For he was past hope, yet in hope he trusted that he would indeed become a father to many nations, in keeping with what he had been told, so many will your seed be. His trust did not waver when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered what Sarah's womb was dead too. He did not, by lack of trust, decide against Jehovah's promise. On the contrary, by trust he was given power as he gave glory to Jehovah. For he was fully convinced that what Jehovah had promised, he could also accomplish. And this is why it was accredited to his account as righteousness. But the words "it was credited to his account" were not written for him only. They were written also for us, who will certainly have our own account credited too, because we have trusted in him who raised Yeshua our Lord from the dead. Yeshua, who was delivered over to the death because of our offences and raised to life in order to make us righteous. It's a long scripture, but I think it's an excellent one for us to grab hold of and to realise that we have those promises and we can walk in them. I believe that it's time that we begin to put our full trust in Jehovah and not question him. I know there is probably a lot to question him about in what has been happening globally and to many of us in the past 2.5 years, and especially in the past 18 months, with so many deaths of young people in sport, as well as sudden adult death syndrome, where the government health authority is baffled as to why it is happening, young children having cardiac problems and strokes, which have never happened before. We all know what it points to, but we are suppressed from telling the truth. It makes us angry, but we also know that Jehovah knows what is happening and why, so we must not question him. We just have to trust that he will keep us safe and protect those who love him. We also have to remember that it was Hasatan who questioned Jehovah's word. It is not for us to question it. In Bereshit chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any wild animal which Jehovah Elohim had made. He said to the woman, 'Did Jehovah really say you are not to eat from the tree in the garden?' He also questioned the Most High when Yeshua was in the wilderness by asking in Matityahu chapter 4 verse 3, the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the son of Jehovah, order these stones to become bread.'" We have to learn that when the tempter comes and he questions our relationship with Yah, that we need to say exactly what Yeshua said when we are tempted to show our power to prove our sonship with the words Jehovah to Jehovah. We ought to say from Matityahu 4 and 4, where Yeshua answered, "The Tanakh says, 'Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of Jehovah.'" We can squash every word of Hasatan with those words. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of Jehovah. When Hasatan tempts you to question Yah's ability to provide, don't question Yah by saying, "If I am your child, why don't you do this or do that? Why do you have to make it so hard?" The following scriptures were spoken at the end of the age and the return of Yeshua to this earth. But I also think that they are applicable for now as we press into him during our current situations. In Luke 21 verse 26a, it says, "As people faint with fear at the prospect of what is overtaking the world, for the powers in heaven will be shaken." And in 20 verse 28b, "Stand up and hold your heads high, because you are about to be liberated." And Philippians 4:19, "Moreover, my Jehovah will fill every need of yours according to his glorious wealth in union with Yeshua HaMashiach." I want you to take a moment to look back at where you were before you knew Yeshua. Look back from where he brought you and what he brought you out of. Faith is not built upon how much Yehovah gives to us, but what he withholds from us. There would be little or no faith if Yah gave us everything we asked for. To trust on Yah is to wait upon him. If everything is handed to us on a platter, we would have no respect for him. If we didn't wait for our prayers to be answered, then we wouldn't know how to wait on him. In Yeshayahu Isaiah chapter 30 verse 18, it says, "Yet Yehovah is just waiting to show you favor. He will have pity on you from on high, for Yehovah is an Elohim of justice. Happy are all who wait for him." And in chapter 40 verse 31 of Yeshayahu, it says, "But those who hope in Yehovah will renew their strength. They will soar aloft as with eagles. And when they are running, they won't grow weary. When they are walking, they won't get tired." So let us review what is happening by waiting. When we wait, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. When you think of an eagle soars on the current of the skies. It doesn't rest and wait on the... They just rest and wait on the current. They don't flap their wings and go all different ways trying to get to the top. They just sit there and glide and wait on the current to shift them and take them to wherever the current wants to take them. So we have to wait like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not get tired. If we are going to make it, we must wait upon Yehovah. It is in times when we are waiting that Yah reveals his promises to us and also our character and what puts us in the situation that we are waiting on him for. It is more often than not when waiting on Yehovah for answers to prayer that he uses that time for us to learn to trust in him explicitly, to research his promises in his word, and this helps the waiting. Once we have grasped the promise, we can then start thanking him in advance for what he is going to do. Remember, there is one thing we need to remember. We can only look back on where we have come from to how Yehovah has molded and changed us to make us who we are today. But Yehovah knows the big picture. He knows the end from the beginning. So he doesn't have to look back. He can look forward because he knows where we're going, he knows how we're going to end up, and he knows our future. We need to trust him with our future by letting go of our own desires and let his will and kingdom purpose be outworked in our lives daily. He has promised to take responsibility for us. That is all I need to say today. So is there any questions?